Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve.
Good morning, Verve. I tell you what, it is so great to be back with you guys today. My wife Lisa and my girls, we have been in town the last couple of weeks, and let me just tell you, we miss you guys. We miss Verve Church. We love you guys, and so it is so great to be back this morning. It's an honor to be able to share with you. And I actually brought a few things up here with me to help this morning. You could call these things, these props, instruments of death. Aren't you glad you came this morning? These are bug traps, and bugs don't know this, but bugs have an enemy. And this enemy is bigger and stronger and smarter than bugs are, and this enemy actually stays up late at night trying to think of ways to lure little bugs to their death, and these are some of those ways. Now, these traps don't actually go out and get the bugs. A strange fact is that bugs will voluntarily go to them. They will enter into, they will participate in the very things that lead to their death. Now, why? Why would they do that? Well, it's because each of these traps involves deception. They involve the promise of life, of something that is pleasing or appealing and good. And so bugs look at these things and find that they're very attractive for food, maybe, or pleasing to their eye. And so they will make their way to these traps, thinking they're going to have life from it, but in reality, they lead to death. So one of these things I have is a cockroach prison, also known as a roach motel. Now, in this roach motel, there are no maids, there's no room service, nobody's leaving a mint on the roach's pillow in the evening, but there is a little bit of food in this motel, and roaches think this food is really good, and so they will eat this food, not realizing it's the last meal they're ever going to have. I mean, they can check out any time they want, but they are never going to leave. And so, roaches voluntarily enter this motel, and they never leave. They die. They are deceived. Now, this other thing is a flypaper, and I'm not going to touch it because you kind of know what happens if you touch it. But I'm told that flypaper actually emits an odor, and that odor is very pleasing to flies. And so they will fly right to the flypaper and land on it, not realizing that is the last flight they will ever take. They will voluntarily fly to this paper right to their death. And then there's this thing right here. This is a bug zapper. Now, where I live in Atlanta, these are very popular. It's not uncommon to sit outside and just to listen. There you go. Just to listen to bugs fly into this blue light to their death. I call this the blue light special right here. Okay? This is not Kmart. This is like a bug's blue light special. And I mean, you can just watch. I mean, bugs look at this and they go, man, that's a very cool looking light. I need to get a closer look at that light. And they fly right into it and get zapped. Now, what I want you to do for just a moment is I want you to try and think like a bug. Okay? Wouldn't you think that after a while, bugs would wise up? Wouldn't you think they'd observe that the tray underneath the light is littered with bodies of impulsive bug friends who have gone before them? Right? I mean, wouldn't you think that, you know, some thoughtful bug would say, well, wait a minute, not so fast. I'm not going to just blindly follow my desires. I've noticed that all my friends get drawn into this and they never come back. I'm going to consider just how high a price I'm willing to pay to get a closer look at that beautiful blue light. But no bug has ever done that, right? Bugs, instead, they think, I know what I'm doing. I'm smart enough and I'm strong enough to handle this attraction without getting zapped. Only a bug would be that stupid, right? Yeah, right. How many people follow the bright light into an excessive drinking problem? Zap. I mean, they've watched others go before them, perhaps even a family member who died from alcoholism, and yet they follow the same pattern. How many people follow the bright light into an adulterous affair that wrecks their marriage? Zap. How many people follow the bright light into purchase after purchase after purchase as they go further and further and further into debt? Zap. Why are you and I not smarter than bugs? Right? I mean, that's the question. Well, the Bible says that part of the answer to that is that I have an enemy, and you have an enemy, and your enemy is bigger and stronger and smarter than you. And your enemy stays up all hours of the night trying to think up ways, devoting time, investing energy, coming up with ways that will help you destroy your life. And interestingly, we learn a good bit about our enemy from a very unlikely source, from a children's book, specifically The Cat in the Hat. Okay? Now, I gotta tell you, I feel horrible doing this to this cute little children's story. But this book is all about your enemy. In fact, the cat in The Cat in the Hat reminds me a whole lot of Satan, okay? Now, I know that may sound ridiculous, but I think it's true, and I actually believe there's a lot we can learn about temptation and how to overcome temptation from this book. Listen to what the Bible says in the book of 1 Peter chapter 5. We'll put the verse here on the screen. It says, "Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like what? A roaring lion." Basically an overgrown cat, okay? I mean, that's what it says here. "Looking for someone to devour." Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a cat in the hat. That's what it says. That's what the Bible says. You can read it right there. Now, I realize you may think, Jeff, that's a ridiculous analogy, but think about this book. The cat in the hat comes in, and what does he do? He does everything he's not supposed to do, right? I mean, he just comes in, he breaks all the rules, but is that what he says? No, I mean, does he come in and say, "I want to lead you two bored little kids into doing everything you're not supposed to do and just totally disrespecting your mother"? No, that's not what he says. It's not the way he works. He says things like, "We can have lots of good fun. That is funny." He says, "I have good games, new tricks, good tricks." He tells them, "Your mother won't mind." He says, "Hey, have no fear. My tricks are not bad." I mean, that's how the cat works. Listen to what Jesus said about our enemy in the book of John, in the Bible, in the book of John. He says, "There is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. He's like the cat in the hat. Okay, are you seeing this now? Are you like, "Oh man, I had no idea my parents were reading me this awful book when I was growing up," right? I mean, he's just like the cat in the hat. Your enemy doesn't come up to you and say, "Hey, listen, I got this awful thing I want you to do. God's totally against it. In fact, be honest, I mean, it's probably going to ruin your marriage. You might lose your job. Your kids will never respect you. So what do you say?" No, that's not the way he works. He comes up to you and says, "We can have lots of good fun. That is funny." He says, "I've got good games, new tricks, good tricks." He says this, he says, God wouldn't mind. What do you say?" See, that's how your enemy works. Here's the thing about your enemy. He has no power over you, no power, except to try and deceive you. His game plan is just to make you think that what he has to offer you is all good. It's all good. When the reality is that anything Satan offers you can and will be, in most cases, it will just result in you eventually dying spiritually. So the question for us this morning is, how do you overcome the cat in the hat? I mean, how do you keep from being drawn into his games and tricks? And if you have your Bibles, I'd like to ask you to turn to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We're going to put the verses on the screen again. And if you don't have a Bible, We give them away for free at the Velcro Bar. We'd love for you to have one. Just stop by there on the way out. No strings attached. You can just have a Bible for free. We'd love for you to have one. So let's look at this passage in 1 Corinthians. And this is just like a classic scripture on temptation in the entire Bible. And we're going to begin in verse 12. The writer says this, "So if you think you are standing firm," in other words, saying, if you think you're here and you don't have a problem with this, so you're sitting here today and you're going, "Man, I'm so glad so-and-so's here, but this message is not for me. I don't need this, but man, they really do." If you think you're standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. In other words, if you're here and you're breathing in and out, this message is for you. It just says, everybody, the Bible says, is vulnerable to temptation, okay? Don't ever think you're above it, okay? We're all vulnerable. Temptation comes to everyone. It comes to you. It comes to me. It comes to all of us. So just expect it. Now, let me just, so there's some clarity on our part, let me just give you a definition of temptation, okay? Temptation is anything that promises satisfaction at the cost of obedience to God. Temptation is anything that promises satisfaction. Okay, you're going to like this. This is going to feel good. This is going to make your life more meaningful. It promises satisfaction at the cost of obedience to God. In other words, if you give in, you're going to do something that breaks the heart of God, that's against His plan for your life. Now, I think what's going to be most helpful for you today is for you to listen to this message through the lens of your greatest temptation. And so let me just pause here and ask you, okay, what is your greatest temptation? You don't need to say this out loud, okay? You can just kind of think through this. But what's your greatest temptation? Maybe for you it's food or dessert. You struggle with overeating. Maybe for you it's an internet thing. You have a tendency to look at things online that you shouldn't be looking at. Maybe it's a substance that has a power over you, or it's a person, or it's a financial thing. Maybe for you, it's a love of cats, okay? And you have absolutely no idea how wrong that is, okay? You're just learning that today. But what is your greatest temptation? I don't know what may be for you, but I know you have one, because the Bible says temptation comes to everyone. Okay, and so don't be surprised, just don't be caught off guard, just expect that temptation's going to come to your life. Now, I've shared a lot of bad news so far, okay? We got an enemy, he wants to destroy you, he's going to tempt you. It's like, man, I'm so glad I showed up today, I'm so encouraged by Jeff being here. But now we get some really good news, and we'll continue in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. It says this, "And God is faithful, He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear, but when you are tempted, He will also provide you a way out so that you can endure it." Now, earlier I said you have an enemy, but you also have a friend. Okay? God is for you. Okay? Whether you're a Christian or not a Christian, whether you're a believer or not a believer this morning, God is for you. And so the bad news is you have this enemy, and he's going to tempt you. But the good news is you have this friend, and he is faithful. Now, how is he faithful? Well, in many ways, but specifically, this scripture talks about him being faithful in that he will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. And when you are tempted, he will provide you a way out. Now, that is good news for you and me. That every single time you are tempted to do something that would be harmful to you, harmful to someone you love, or just break the heart of God, the reality is there is a way out. There is a way to overcome that temptation. The Bible says you can defeat your enemy and you can win out over temptation, that God is for you. He wants you to win. And not only that, He'll help you to win over temptation. And so what is the way out that God provides? Okay, what is this thing that God provides that helps us overcome temptation? Well, I think it takes a lot of different forms, and today I just want to talk about three. Three things that you can do in advance so you are equipped to face and defeat the enemy when you're in the heat of temptation. Because here's the thing, okay? You already know you're going to be tempted. And I think a lot of times we get in the temptation, and then it's like, okay, where's the way out? Man, I don't know about you, but when I'm in the heat of temptation, it's too late for that, right? And so what can we do in advance that will help us just prepare and resist the temptation so we don't fall into something destructive when the temptation comes? Well, the Cat in the Hat begins this way. The sun did not shine. It was too wet to play. So we sat in the house all that cold, cold, wet day. I sat there with Sally. We sat there, we two. And I said, how I wish we had something to do. Why do intelligent people like you get attracted to the light? What makes you and I so vulnerable to temptation when usually we know better? I mean, the reality is, if somebody else was being faced with that temptation and asked us what we should do, you would totally know what to tell them, right? Like, don't go there, don't do it, it's a trap. But when you're in it, it's not so clear, right? What is that about? Why do we keep getting attracted to the light? Are you ready for this? A lack of joy. It's probably not what you were thinking. A lack of joy. You and I become vulnerable and susceptible to temptation most when we are dissatisfied with our life. And therefore, one of the greatest, single greatest weapons you possess against temptation is to arrange your life around joy. Arrange your life around joy, because joylessness makes you vulnerable to sin and temptation. There's an author by the name of Dallas Willard. He wrote this. He said, failure to attain a deeply satisfying life always has the effect of making sinful actions seem good. Normally, our success in overcoming temptation will be easier if we are basically happy in our lives. How true is that? I mean, how true is that? You know, for example, you experience sexual temptation. What's driving it? What's prompting it? Well, I mean, honestly, very often underneath it is loneliness and boredom and self-pity, maybe resentment towards a spouse. The sun did not shine. It was too wet to play. So we sat in the house all that cold, cold, wet day. Lack of joy. I know for me, personally, when I lack joy, when I am discouraged, when work is just stress-filled, I am far more vulnerable to eat what I shouldn't eat, to spend money I don't have, to yell at my kids for just dumb, insignificant things, and to lust at the attractive woman walking my way. Because I'm just not in a joyful place, and I'm more susceptible. But to the extent that you have true joy, true satisfaction, temptation doesn't look all that tempting. Because all temptation is, are you ready for this? All temptation is an illusion of joy. An illusion of joy. Remember, we said earlier when we defined temptation, it's just the promise of satisfaction. It's not really satisfying, it's just the promise of it. It's this illusion of joy, that this is going to be fun. This is going to spice up your marriage. This is going to help you relax. And you give into the temptation, and what happens initially? It gives you the hit, right? It gives you the buzz. It gives you the thrill. It feels good. And there's this moment that you think, man, I'm just satisfied. But all it is an illusion. Because the I'm satisfied moment quickly gives way to the what was I thinking moment, right? I shouldn't have done that moment. The buzz is followed by the bust, the sin, the regret, the shame, because that's all temptation is. It's an illusion of joy. Here's what sin's like. Sin is like a sneeze. It feels good coming out, but then there's snot everywhere, okay? I mean, that's it, right? I mean, that is totally it. And if you're going to defeat the enemy, if you're going to defeat the temptations he throws your way, thing one is this. See what I did there? thing one is this. You're not enjoying that as much as I did. I'll just move on. Thing one is this. You need to arrange your life around joy. The Bible says this in the book of Nehemiah. It says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Okay? God's joy in your life gives you strength. Okay? When I'm weak, I'm vulnerable. When I'm strong, I can face and defeat the enemy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. So what do you need to do today to increase the joy in your life? Okay. What actions, decisions, lifestyle choices have you found that just help you unleash true, lasting joy in your heart? I mean, maybe for you, it's listening to music that moves your soul. Maybe it's playing a sport that challenges you. Maybe it's reading a good book that refreshes you, or it's just, you know, getting outside and surrounding yourself with beauty. But what is it? How can you arrange your life so that sin no longer looks good to you? Like, what if today you began to take joy seriously? Arrange your life around joy. Thing two is this. Ask for help. Ask for help. Part of the way that God provides you a way out is you ask for help. Here's why. Nothing makes temptation more tempting and more powerful than isolation. Nothing makes temptation more powerful than isolation. If you are here and you think you can handle temptation on your own, you are deceiving yourself. Your enemy is stronger and smarter than you are, okay? And you will fall. You need people in your life that you can talk to about the temptations that you face. Do you remember in The Cat in the Hat when the cat finally came home? Or when the cat finally left? It was when the mother came home. And I think that's significant. I think it is critical, if you're going to defeat your enemy, that you, it's going to require you to be around people who look out for you, who strengthen you, who sharpen you, and who love you enough to tell you the truth. Back in February, I went to the doctor for my annual checkup, and it didn't go so well. I say annual checkup. I don't go every year, but I went this year, and like I say, it didn't go so well. I was considerably overweight, my cholesterol was high, and I just didn't feel good, and my doctor was not really pleased about any of those things and gave me strict orders to kind of change my diet, change my lifestyle. Now, you have to understand, this was like no surprise to me because we have a mirror at our house. I mean, I knew what I was looking at, and besides that, for the first 45 years of my life, I had eaten anything and everything I wanted all the time, and so, you know, it wasn't a shock to me. It also wasn't a surprise to me because a few months earlier, I had received an email from a friend who loves me and looks out for me. Now, this friend lives 2,000 miles from me now, but a couple years ago, he and I were in a Verve group together. And so out of love and wanting the best for me and for my family, he felt like he needed to confront me about really the lack of care I had for my body. And so he sent a loving yet firm email encouraging me to change some of my habits. And one of the most meaningful lines in the email was this. He said of my wife Lisa and I, "You guys both need to be on this planet for a long time. We need you." And I needed to hear that. And as a result of people like he in my life, I started making some drastic changes around my lifestyle. So much so, I had to go buy clothes to speak today, like new shirt, new jeans, because I thought it'd be really bad if my jeans fell off while I was preaching. I'd probably never get invited back again. But again, it was just because of people in my life that helped me make some of those changes. So here's the question for you today. Who do you have in your life who loves you so much that they will do everything they can to keep you from wrecking your life? Who do you have in your life who encourages you to live out the life that God created for you to have? You need to have at least a couple people that you can just be totally and completely transparent with. Because you are only as strong as you are honest. And so you need someone in your life that you can go to and you can pick up the phone and you can call immediately and say, here's what I'm thinking about doing. Or here's what I almost did. Or here's what happened. Someone who on the other end of the line will love you enough to say, you know what? That's the second time this month you've dealt with this. We need to talk about some changes to the way you're going about life. Or you know what? I'm not going to judge you, but God has got something better for you. Let me help. Here's what I know. Being around the wrong people never helps you do the right thing. And maybe you're here today and you realize, man, I need some friendship upgrades, okay? I'm not encouraging you to leave here today and drive over to a friend, current friend's house and go, hey, just wanted to let you know I'm dropping you because I'm upgrading to a new set of friends, okay? Like, you may need to do that, I don't know, but I'm not saying you do it that way. But what I am saying is you may need to get some other people in your life who, again, will just love you enough to help you live the kind of life that God has for you. And I can just tell you personally, one of the great ways to do that is to try out a group here at Verve. You are surrounded by some great people in this place, people who will love you. You need to know you are not alone. And Verve groups are designed to help you fight and defeat your enemy and to help you grow in your relationship with God. And if you're not in a group, man, I'd encourage you before you leave today, stop by the Velcro bar and sign up to get in a group in this place. Again, there are great people around you who would love to help you in your fight against the temptations that you face. So how do you find the way out when you're tempted? Well, you arrange your life around joy, okay? And you're responsible for that. Nobody else can do that for you. You've got to take the initiative in that. And then you ask for help, okay? Again, you've got to take the first step there, asking for help, getting people around you that'll help you in this fight. And then thing number three, and I know there's no thing number three in the book, all right? Just work with me today. Listen for the voice. Listen for the voice. In The Cat in the Hat, the character that stands out to me the most is the fish. Okay? Easily missed, but very present in this story. For every lie that the cat tells, the fish reminds the kids of the truth. The cat says, "My tricks are fun." And the fish says, "They are no fun at all." The fish says, "You should not be here when our mother is not. You get out of the house," said the fish in the pot. And so the kids should have never been deceived because the whole time they had someone there with them telling them the truth. And the same holds true for you. Though Satan will tempt you and will tell you lies and try to deceive you, if you're a Christian, you have someone with you to remind you of the truth from God. The truth that the Bible says will set us free and help us to win out over temptation. So who is our fish? Okay. It's the Holy Spirit. See, when you become a Christian, God actually moves inside of you. I know that sounds so weird, but it is absolutely true. When you become a Christian, God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, moves inside of you and lives inside of you so that God, through His Holy Spirit, is constantly present in your life, speaking to you, trying to lead you into truth. The Bible says this in the book of Galatians, chapter 5. It says, "So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." In other words, when you listen to the voice, you won't fall into the enemy's deception. You won't be drawn to his illusions because you'll know the truth. And so how do you walk by God's Spirit? How do you listen for the voice? Well, very simply, you spend time with him. And there's a lot of ways you can do this, but let me just mention one. It's really one of the best ways to spend time with him, and that is just daily reading God's words that you find in the Bible. When you immerse yourself in reading the Bible and reading God's truth, what happens is when you're tempted, what you start noticing is that there's this other voice that is speaking to you. There's the enemy's voice that's trying to deceive you, but there's this other voice, and this other voice is going, No. You know this isn't right. Okay? Remember the commitment you made to God. Okay? Remember that you made a promise. You know what the Bible says about this. You know this is just an illusion. It's a false promise. Think about what would happen to you if you gave in to this. Think about what this may do to the people you love. Think about what this may do to your future if you give in for this moment of satisfaction. And that voice is God's voice through His Holy Spirit, constantly present in our life, speaking to you, leading you into truth, helping you find the way out. And so perhaps for you today, the best way you can begin to defeat the temptations in your life is by starting to read the Bible each and every day. And let me just tell you, Verve has a great Bible reading plan. Every year, they put a Bible reading plan together. You can sign up for it today at the Velcro Bar or online. You can get a printed out copy at the Velcro Bar as well. But every day, they give you one chapter, and they'll email you this, one chapter from the Bible to read. And then the great thing about this, and I think it's super helpful, they give you just a very short write-up that explains to you what you just read, okay, and how it applies to your life. And so it's super helpful to you. It's just this short summary. And I promise you, if you'll start reading the Bible every day, if you'll start listening for the voice, Satan's temptations will not seem so tempting. There's this great promise in the Bible in the book of 1 John chapter 4. It says, the one who is in you is greater than the one who's in the world. The one who's in you is greater than the one who's in the world. You have an enemy, and he is strong. But there is one who is stronger still. So let me just tell you, I'm weak. I'm vulnerable to temptation. Me in me is not a great team. But there is one who is stronger. God's Spirit is strong. God's Spirit in you is more powerful than any wrong desire in you. And I want you to hear that, because you may be sitting there today and you think, man, this desire I have, it just has me. It holds this power over me that I can't resist. And you know what? You're right. You can't resist it. You in you, not so strong. But God in you, stronger than the one who's in the world. Stronger than any wrong desire in you. And every time you are tempted, God is inviting you to listen to Him, to listen to His voice, and to trust Him, because He is for you and because He is faithful. How? He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. And when you're tempted, He will provide a way out. Here's what I want to encourage you to do today. I want to encourage you to choose one of these three ways out that we've talked about to work on as your area this week. Okay? Now, you may be a high achiever and say, I'm going to work on all three of them. But I realize that if you work on all three of them, you're probably not going to end up working on any of them. All right? And so I just want to encourage you today. I want to challenge you to pick one. What's the one that would just help you out the most? Which one of these ways do you need to work on the most to help you defeat the enemy and to defeat temptation? Maybe for you, it's arranging your life around joy. And again, this is something you've got to figure out. What is it that gives you joy in life? And man, I'd get out my calendar and I'd figure out what are ways, very practical ways, I'm going to put these things in my daily life so that I fill my life up with joy, that God's joy in my life that will give me strength. Maybe for you, it's just asking for help. And honestly, you don't need to leave here before you sign up for a Verve group. Maybe today you ask one or two friends to say, hey, would you help me in my fight against temptation? Will you help me live the kind of life that God has for me? And maybe for you, it's listening to the voice. Maybe for you, it's spending time with God and reading His Word so that when you are tempted, God's truth comes speaking to you. You know, maybe for you, you've never made a decision to follow Jesus. You've been thinking about it, but you've never made that decision. You've never asked God to come into your life to forgive you of all the times you failed at temptation in the past. But He will. He'll forgive you. He's for you. And if you'll invite Him into your life, man, He will come and not only forgive you, He'll come live with you and speak to you as you battle the enemy. And if you're in that place, you'd like to talk to somebody again, you can go to the Velcro Bar, you can come up to me, any of the team here, we'd love to talk to you about that decision. Let's pray. God, sometimes it can just be overwhelming as the enemy just attacks us in areas where we are weak, as he brings this beautiful blue light into our life to deceive us and to attract us. And God, I don't know what that thing may be or things are for each person who's here today. But God, I thank you that you're for us. I thank you that you love us and you want us to win and that you will help us defeat the enemy. God, I thank you that you've already defeated the enemy through Jesus' death on the cross. And I thank you that you have sent your Spirit to live inside of us so that we can be stronger than our enemy. So Lord, today, for each one in this room, would you just help us choose wisely? What are the things we can do in our life to help us find the way out that you've provided when temptation comes? Lord, help us to arrange our life around joy, to ask for help. God, help us to listen for your voice. God, thank you for not giving up on us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for being for us. Lord, may we lean into you and not go into this battle alone, but to go in it with you. For you are stronger than the one who is in this world. In Jesus' name, amen.